How do we go into living right? We need the Word of God, and we need the Spirit of God. In Romans 12, Paul paints a picture of what does it mean to follow Jesus. And he doesn't describe an easy life. He describes a transformed life. What the life in Christ should look like. Romans 12 describes what happens when our hearts are renewed by the Holy Spirit, by the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of peace. When the life of Christ is reproduced inside of us. In verses 1 to 2, it talks about love for God. In verses 9 to 16, it talks about love for one another here in the church. And in verse 17 to 21, it talks about love. That love, the same love rippling outwards, outside to other people, even to enemies. So today we're going to look at 17 to 19. We're going to look at 17 to 19 and our relationships with other people, particularly those that we find hard. Relationships, the Bible says, with our enemies. And I thought to myself, I'm not sure if I've got any enemies actually, but then the word actually means those that might be hostile towards us or even those that might hate us. It's our relationships with the people we find difficult to love. Now, if you seek to obey God, you will have enemies. If you live a life that reflects Jesus, you will have enemies. Jesus had enemies during his ministry. The apostles, Paul and the apostles, they had enemies when they were trying to do God's work. So this morning we're going to look at, how do we do this? What's outside of that? What must we do? And my first point is about repaying evil. And that word evil can also translate to harm. Verse 17 in the ESV says, repay no one evil for evil, harm for harm. But give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. Repaying evil for evil or harm for harm, repaying good for good, is the way that most people live today. That kind of reciprocation. If you treat me well, I treat you well. If you treat me badly, I'm going to treat you badly. But that's the way of the world. Repaying evil for evil is not what we must do. We must live on a higher level than that. We must repay evil with good. And this requires love. This requires God's love poured out into our hearts. Because our instinct is to retaliate. And when we retaliate, we surrender control. When we retaliate, we become like the person that's done wrong to us. Their sin becomes our sin. This requires love, and it requires faith. It requires faith that God can accomplish his will in us and his will in other people, those that want to hurt us. And I must admit, I've learned that if there's a difficult relationship, I bring it to God in prayer. I invite God into that situation. I ask him to give me wisdom to help me to navigate that difficult situation. And do you know what? Half the time, before I've even said a word to the other person, God has reconciled that relationship. That's something we should try. That's something we should do more of. But when someone hurts you, the first reaction is to defend ourselves. It might even be to get even, to pay back. And sometimes we don't, but we just replay the offense over and over in our minds. And I found myself doing that at times, that I've not actually met that person again, and I'm still having an imaginary argument in my head I've given them space in my head. I've got to stop doing that. I've got to put. And we must refuse to pay back evil. And when evil is done to us, this is an opportunity to show that we belong to Jesus. That we are people of peace. We are good news people. All of this requires thought. And I have to say, since I've become a minister, I've been learning about this. It's taken me a while. But when somebody says something or does something that I don't agree with and I find I get an angry reaction, I've learned, never react. Never react. I've also learned that it's never personal. But what I do is I take it to prayer. And I keep what's called a reflexive diary. I try to note my emotions. What am I feeling at that time? And I write in a journal. And then I come back to it a couple of days later when I'm not angry. And do you know what? That's really helped me, because when I do speak to that person, that was never their intention. Very rarely was that their intention. And I could easily have sent that email. I could have easily said a wrong word. And repaid it back, evil for evil. When we show the love of Christ, when we show the forgiveness of Christ, we're choosing to live in service to God instead of ourselves. We need to make that choice. Paul says, never repay evil for evil, harm for harm, because love refuses to retaliate. And when we repay evil for evil, evil's multiplied. When we repay evil for evil, evil wins. But evil wins twice. When we choose good, however, that cycle is interrupted and that pattern is broken. Don't be conformed to the world. Don't be defined by your wounds, but by Christ. And don't let evil write your story. Don't repay evil for evil. And that's my first point. Secondly, pursue peace. Verse 18. The NET Bible says, live peaceably with all people. The NIV says, it adds on to it, if it's possible. Paul acknowledges it's not always possible. But if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And we should never let ourselves be the reason for an unpeaceful relationship with another person. If we don't have peace in that relationship, we need to look at ourselves first. Am I doing everything I can within my power to make and pursue peace in this relationship? How can we live the way of peace? We can't control what other people do, but we can control our response. We can control who we give our peace to and whether we let that peace go. And it's interesting here that Paul puts two conditions on it, if it's possible, and secondly, as far as it depends on you. We must be willing to admit when we get things wrong. We must be willing to apologize and make things right. And we must be willing to forgive those that have harmed us or have hurt us. And here we see Jesus as our example. Even on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And here is our model, Jesus Christ. He's the one that shows us how we can actually do this. So far as it depends on you, maintain peace. And sometimes this might require us to yield to somebody else or even move on. We should never let our pride, our ego, our desires, our prejudices get in the way of living out our peace, living at peace with others. We must represent Christ well. And ultimately, we'll stand in front of the Lord and give an account of what we've said and what we've done here on earth. Don't stand before him with regrets. Ask ourselves, have we done everything in our power to pursue peace? That's the second point. Thirdly, vengeance. Vengeance, verse 19. This is really bugging me. I bet it's bugging you as well. Vengeance. How's that? Vengeance? Vengeance. Beloved, don't take revenge, Paul says, but leave room for God's wrath. For it's written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Wow, scary thought. This is Paul quoting Deuteronomy 32. When our wounds are real and deep, our instinct is to hold on to that hurt until the other person deserves to be forgiven. We won't release them until then. But actually, that's hurting us. And when people say unkind or untrue things towards us, we can react and we can be angry and we can fight back. But don't do it. Don't do it. If you defend yourself, the Lord cannot defend you. If you leave this in God's hands, the Lord will vindicate you. Now, this doesn't mean we're to endure abuse. That is not God's plan. You should not endure abuse. But it means that we must resist the natural instinct to take revenge. It means revenge is not an option for us if we are following Christ. And the reason for this is that revenge assumes that we've got something that we don't possess. We don't possess perfect justice or perfect knowledge. So Paul points us to Deuteronomy 32, where God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And at first glance, this sounds really harsh, doesn't it? But vengeance does belong to God, not to us. However, we can be tempted to take vengeance out of fear that justice won't be done, out of fear that wrongs won't be corrected and evil will triumph. But when we take vengeance, we're playing God. Trust in God. Trust in the God who never fails. As humans, we are biased, sinful, and broken. And when we become the judge, we see partially and we react emotionally. But God sees fully and judges rightly. Only God gives perfect justice. But leaving justice to God is hard. It requires trust. We must trust that God sees the harm done to us. We must trust that God sees it more clearly than us. We must trust God will deliver justice as he sees fit in his timing. So that refusing to take revenge, shows that we have confidence and trust in God. And when you trust in God's justice, this makes non-violence possible. When you trust in God's justice, it makes love for your enemy possible. What does vengeance is mine really mean? It means that God will deal with evil. God will deal with injustice. This is not denying justice. This is refusing to take justice into our own hands, but rather relocate justice into God's hands instead. Friends, if you've got any unforgiveness, any injustice that's been done to you, any hurt or pain from the past, hand it to the one whose justice, whose judgment is perfect. Hand it to the one whose knowledge is complete. Give it to God, whose power is infinite. Vengeance is mine means that we do not need to avenge. when someone does us harm. It frees us from bitterness, that we don't have to carry it in our hearts anymore. It frees us from anger. We don't have to become angry anymore. It frees us from becoming what has hurt us. And furthermore, it mirrors Christ, who did not retaliate, but told us to turn the other cheek. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. He handed it over to his Father, to Father God. And when we do this, we're not just copying Jesus. We're being transformed into his likeness. We're being made holy through Christ living inside of us. And the whole world will see that. Vengeance is mine asks us to trust that evil will be seen, that evil will be judged, and evil will be overcome. And there's a writer, a Russian writer called Dostoevsky. He wrote a really good book called The Brothers Karamazov. And I want to quote something that Dostoevsky wrote. He writes this perfectly. I couldn't write it better, so I want to quote him. Dostoevsky writes that a day will come when everything will be made clear, when all suffering will be answered, where every injustice will be addressed, where every tear will be accounted for, and every wrong will be resolved, when perfect justice is revealed, the day when Jesus comes again. What does vengeance is mine point to? It points to a final, perfect justice. A time when God will set right the world. God will restore what has been broken. And God will not let evil have the last word. Because vengeance belongs to God. And that's the third point. So what are we going to do about this? What does this look like in our lives, in real life for us? Well, for me, it looks like I'm going to refuse to speak harshly. I'm going to try anyway. That's my intention. I'm going to refuse to speak harshly when I'm provoked. It looks like choosing peace rather than to engage in conflict. And it feels like losing. But in the kingdom of God, it looks like victory. Have you done everything within your power to pursue peaceful relationships with everyone before you stand before God? So in conclusion, today we've looked at verses 17 to 19 of Romans 12. The fact is, evil is real, but justice is coming. Refuse to take revenge, pursue peace with everyone, and trust God's justice. And you will overcome evil with good. And this is not just a command to live according to this way. This is an invitation into the life of Christ when we do this. Let's pray. Father God, we just pray, will you guard our hearts from reacting? Would you guard our hearts from taking revenge, but to offer them to you? Would you free us, Lord, from anger and bitterness, from hate, from evil, and everything that binds our hearts? Lord, we ask you today on the day of Pentecost to free our hearts, Lord. May we offer all these things up to you, Lord. And will you replace them again with your love? Teach us to trust your justice, Lord, and to give us, Lord, courage to do all that is good, to fill us with your love. So that even when evil is done to us, even when people hurt us or harm us, you will turn it to good, Lord. Even when it costs us. Lord, we ask you, transform our lives again so that we may overcome evil with good. And all the saints say, Amen. Amen.